Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Monday edition of the Hoosier Report underway. Glad you're with us. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. A couple things. First off, we now have no high school football teams left from the immediate area. Providence lost an absolute heartbreaker Friday night at Paoli, as Paoli just barely remains undefeated and moves on to the regional. It was a classic high school football game, one of the best that I have seen in person for many, many years. And effectively, that closes our coverage of high school football for the upcoming season, or for this closing season, I should say. But it's also the start today of high school boys basketball practices. They've been able to practice a couple days a week, a new rule that the IHSA passed starting back in August, late August of this year. But now, today, the season is officially here. That means that girls are underway. There were some girls' games over the weekend, boys getting underway. There'll be scrimmages soon and games a couple weeks from now. High school basketball is back. IU back in action on Tuesday with their first official game of the season, a non-conference game as they host Chicago State. All sorts of basketball happening, getting ready to happen. We are back to basketball season. It's a great time to be a sports fan in Southern Indiana, and a great time to be a listener of this show each day. We are excited about the return of hoops, and there's going to be so much coverage, so many things to get to over the next 3 or 4 months. It's going to be a lot of fun to be with you each day on this program at 11 a.m. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us in segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll talk about Romeo Langford named to another preseason watch list for a major college basketball award. Also, a notable college basketball writer, one of my favorites from ESPN, names Indiana. I'll get to it in just a second here, but you'll like what he has to write about Indiana and the Big Ten Conference. Also, we'll take a look at Chicago State, the next opponent for IU. That'll take place Tuesday night. Going to be a busy TV day for me. I'm not a big TV guy. I do watch the Hoosiers. I do watch some college basketball. Not a big show guy. Not a big Netflix guy. But Tuesday, Election Day, I love to watch election coverage and results come in. And, of course, college basketball, huge night Tuesday with a lot of great games. And, of course, IU playing Chicago State. We'll take a look at that contest as well coming up here in just a bit. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive a box, $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If I lose my concentration today or you hear some beating in the background, we're getting a new roof on the Big X, which is great. But they have chosen to do the portion right above the studio where I broadcast from right now. So it is loud, and we'll do our best to get through this. But can't say that I've ever broadcast under these conditions before. So we'll have fun with it and see how it goes. Also, segment two today, joining us will be Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach and I will talk about what he thought in IU's first debut on the court last Thursday night against Southern Indiana. We'll also talk with Zach about Chicago State, what to expect in that game, just some other things as the season gets underway. A lot of ways, a lot of angles that Archie Miller can go with this team early on, but a lot of weapons early on despite a couple injuries, and we'll ask Zach for an update on some of these nagging early season injuries as well. Later in the show, Chad Gilbert will be with me. Chad's the Charlestown Athletic Director, also an IHSA Executive Board member. We'll talk the start of high school basketball here in Southern Indiana. We'll also talk about Providence football, another great season for the Pioneers, and they come up just inches short of winning a sectional championship for the second straight year in a row. They would have been champions if they could have won Friday night in Paoli. We'll talk that, some other local things and more coming up with Chad when he joins us in the final segment today. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Now let's move to our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. The preseason awards for Romeo Langford, I guess I knew this was coming. We knew that he would get a lot of credit, a lot of recognition even before he played his first college basketball game, from small awards to major awards to all types of recognitions from various media and others out there. He has received a lot of preseason recognition, but probably none bigger than this. Earlier this morning, just before we came on the air, Romeo was named a preseason player to watch for the Naismith All-American Award, which includes some of the great players in this season in college basketball. It's a 50-player list. He is among some elite company there. But not only did Romeo make the watch list, Juwan Morgan of Indiana did as well. So two players, two starters for Indiana on the watch list for the Naismith Award for the 18-19 college basketball season. That is really, really big stuff. Also, I think IU fans will like this. I think there is maybe a feeling that based on what you've heard and a little bit you've seen of this team so far, that Indiana maybe didn't get a fair prediction in some of the preseason publications and the rankings of the Big Ten Conference heading into the year. It's obviously way too early to get too excited, but I do think that this team has some talent. It has a great mix of leadership, a great mix of talent, a great mix of obviously newcomers as well, that could make this team a dangerous team, especially by the time that the conference season gets here later in the season. This article from ESPN.com, John Gassaway, number six on his list of things that might surprise you, bold predictions about college basketball for this upcoming season. He writes, quote, Archie Miller will win a slice of the Big Ten title in his second season. He goes on to write, Indiana isn't a flawless program, but five-star freshman Romeo Langford and standout Juwan Morgan comprise a potent duo. Yes, Miller's team has challenges with depth, point guard play, and defense, but the Big Ten is filled with uncertainty this season. The top of the league at this point in the preseason looks solid, but not remarkable. Without a juggernaut in this league, Langford will be the difference for an improved Hoosier squad that shares a piece of the Big Ten pie at the end of the season. I tell you what, if Indiana could go on to complete what he writes in this prediction, what a season it would be, and how would Romeo Langford be remembered for perhaps his only season in college basketball. Ton of ball to be played before we get to that point. A lot of basketball to be played before we could even really size up the Big Ten standings. The season has to get well underway until you can really start to fill that out. But this Indiana team, I think, is gaining some notoriety even once and now that the season is beginning, even after the exhibition game, that they have the talent and the ability to do some special things this season, if it all comes together. There's a lot of things, obviously, a lot of pieces to the puzzle that still have to come together in this season. We'll find out more Tuesday night in our next headline talking about Chicago State. 6:30 p.m., the game is on Big Ten Network with Kevin Kugler and John Crispin, so no more Big Ten Plus. You don't have to worry about trying to download an app and trying to figure out how to stream the game. It'll be on the Big Ten Network, which I know most IU fans at this point either have that network or have access to that network. But it's a game that Indiana is a big favorite in, as you would expect in a lot of these non-conference games. Chicago State is a program being rebuilt by Lance Irvin, who got the job very, very late in the summer, one of the last Division I coaching jobs to fill. He's a Chicago basketball guy, so don't be surprised if 3, 4, 5 years down the road you hear about Chicago State making the NCAA tournament with a lot of Chicago and Illinois area talent. He He's a guy that has many, many connections with grassroots basketball and high school coaches in that part of the country and in that state. But right now, it's a major rebuilding effort for him. Indiana will take on Chicago State again 6:30 on Tuesday night, Election Day, for another early season look at Indiana. And it's the first one that truly counts on the schedule. It's the official opener for the team at Assembly Hall. Also, I mentioned Providence football loses a heartbreaker, trying to win back-to-back sectional championships, but came up just short at Paoli. One of the great high school football games that I have seen in recent years. Providence was inches away from getting that first down, or inches, just a couple feet away from scoring to go on and win the sectional championship. It was a back-and-forth game. Providence had a lot of momentum early. Paoli got the momentum late. Providence had a nice last drive and just couldn't get it to the first down, just couldn't get it to the goal line. Very close to both of those, but hats off to them. Another great season. They carried the torch as far as Southern Indiana football goes because they advanced the farthest in the postseason. We had a number of schools eliminated in the first round of sectional play. We had all of the remaining schools except Providence eliminated in the sectional semifinal round a couple weeks ago. Now Providence eliminated in the sectional championship round. All eight of our football-playing schools have been eliminated from the tournament in this 2018 season. So high school football, at least in this area, comes to a close for the season. It will continue on with the regional round next week. I think Paoli, Brownstown, they are two of the most local schools that remain in their quest to advance on in the state tournament. Also, volleyball, Christian Academy of Indiana, back in the state finals for the fifth state straight year. If you look at the matchup on paper, they had maybe a good chance to win the state championship. They've won 1 of 5, and it'll stay 1 of 5 as they get beat in the 2A state final up in Muncie, despite the loss on Saturday. Another terrific season for Christian Academy volleyball. Another terrific season for volleyball in our area, with Christian Academy going to the state final. Providence and Silver Creek, their season ended in the semi-state round of the tournament. No question about it, volleyball has become, in Southern Indiana at least, a major sport, producing a lot of major college prospects with teams that go deep into the state tournament. Our part of the state has a great reputation for volleyball. It's probably a sport that doesn't get talked about enough mainstream, although I do think it has picked up in crowds and in interest and in recognition that it is a really strong area. But once again, as expected, another really good year for volleyball here in Southern Indiana, and congratulations to Christian Academy on making it to the state championship match in Muncie. That's a great effort in itself. They come up just short in their fifth straight visit to a state championship game. They started in 1A. That's the size of their school. With all the success they had, they bumped up to 2A a couple seasons ago and were defeated in the 2A championship game on Saturday. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Still ahead, we have Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Chad Gilbert as well joining us in this hour. Lots more coverage coming your way next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday edition of the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. We're all fired up about the start of basketball season, college season for IU, officially underway on Tuesday night. And, of course, high school basketball practices on the boys' side can officially begin today. Zach, let's start with a familiar name on this program and in this segment with you each week, Romeo Langford, but also Juwan Morgan. Both of those guys just this morning named to a 50-player watch list for the Naismith Award, which includes some of the very best names and players in college basketball for this forthcoming season. A big honor and unique to see Indiana have two guys on that list.
Yeah, and I think that's at least kind of maybe in one, you know, fairly basic way why you're seeing Indiana picked so well. And I think I've said this, I've seen other people say similar. You know, I wrote a long story for Today's Star about Romeo Langford and expectations surrounding him. And I talked to some national media folks, and one of them, Jeff Goodman, basically said, I believe in Indiana this season because I believe in the trio of Archie Miller, Romeo Langford, and Juwan Morgan. It's hard to bet against talent. And Indiana is a team with questions, and I've said many times, I'm guessing that we will not see the best of this Indiana team for at least a couple of months. They've got to figure out the point guard situation. They're going to have to figure out who, you know, what their best rotations are. They're going to have to get healthy. They're going to have to get Deron Davis back to full strength. They're going to have to get some young guys to grow up quickly, not the least of them being, at some level anyway, Romeo Langford, relative to what they're going to want to expect from him. But at the end of the day, you're talking about a team that's got two potential All-Americans in its starting five. So there can be questions elsewhere, but you've also got a really nice backstop, particularly for some, maybe some of these home games that you're going to want to win early in the season to help build your RPI and your, or I shouldn't say RPI so much as NCAA tournament resume more broadly. It's nice to have, you know, an all Big Ten forward and a McDonald's All-American shooting guard, essentially, that can be the basis for anything that you do.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star and our guest each Monday to kick fire the week here on the Hoosier Report. Thoughts on Romeo Langford in the exhibition game Thursday night? He had some turnovers, which is a little unusual for him, at least that number. I think five is officially what was in the box score. But your thoughts on him and his college debut, at least from an exhibition side of things?
It was quiet. For those who don't know, it was 13 points on 12 shots. He missed two threes. He had five rebounds, five turnovers, four steals. He played 31 minutes, which I think may have been a team high. You know, there were times where it looked like he was forcing things. There were times where it looked like things were coming more naturally to him. The four steals, I think, probably encouraged Archie Miller as much as anything else. And this is also not necessarily an original sentiment, but when you look at that point guard battle, and I thought Robert Phinisee played well in the exhibition win over Southern Illinois, and if Devontae Green is still injured or limited with a thigh contusion, I would expect Phinisee to start and play significant minutes tomorrow night against Chicago State in the opener. But figuring out that point guard position and really figuring out how to get the best out of whatever the rotation is there, whether it's Green first, then Phinisee first, then Green, Al Durham having some kind of role in it, whatever it is, that's going to help you get the best out of Romeo Langford. And I think that's, you know, that's something else Jeff Goodman said. I don't think it's an original thought on his part or my part. Indiana's going to want Romeo Langford to have the ball in his hand sometimes. There's no question. He's a great shot creator, and he's just a natural scorer. He's an elite scorer. But it's also natural that any player like Romeo Langford is going to benefit from having a really good point guard next to him. I think you could even go back to his time at New Albany and look at, you know, how well he sort of dovetailed with Sean East at times. A player like Romeo Langford is always going to benefit from really strong point guard play. And I think that from Indiana's perspective, the faster they can get that figured out, the more they're going to get out of Romeo Langford. Now, the other thing I would say, too, is he's a freshman. And it's important to remember that. And it's important to remember that even the best freshmen don't have, even the elite guys, the lottery picks, the one and dones, they don't have, you know, they don't go for 25 points and 12 rebounds a night. It just doesn't work that way for all. But, you know, if we'd seen like LeBron James go to college, maybe it would have been quite like that. But it's okay to have a night where you only score 13 points. Obviously, the turnovers are something Archie Miller and Romeo Langford will both want to cut down on. But then the steals are also encouraging, because I thought one of the things that really stood out most to me in that exhibition against Southern Indiana was just how much longer and more athletic Indiana looked. And having seen Indiana kind of grow into that pack line style last season, now seeing them play it this season suddenly with, you know, it feels like twice as much length, twice as much athleticism, more depth and those sorts of things. You can suddenly see why it's a system that can really work if you have the right personnel, because you can get away with more, because hands are going to stay in passing lanes, arms are going to stay in passing lanes. And Romeo Langford being 6'7 with a legitimate NBA wingspan, you know, he is kind of proof positive of that. And I think it's just as encouraging if you're Archie Miller to be seeing him have that impact at the defensive end of the floor on a night when Indiana scores 32 points off 19 turnovers. So I thought he had moments when he looked really good. There were moments when maybe it just wasn't kind of clicking as much for him offensively, but he certainly was having an impact on the game at the defensive end of the floor as well.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU, and Chicago State, Tuesday night, 6:30, right here on the Big X Sports Radio. And, Zach, I said this in the first segment, but I don't know if you can hear this at home. We are getting a new roof on the Big X today, so it sounds like we're under siege. I don't know if you can hear this across the radio or not, but it's wild in here today. Nonetheless, you took the words right out of my mouth as far as the point guard situation goes. I was going to ask you about that. Robert Phinisee, you know, in the closed scrimmage in Indianapolis last weekend, there were some good things that leaked out about his performance there. He got the start because of Devontae Green being injured. That continued on Thursday night when Indiana played Southern Indiana. I thought another great performance by Robert Phinisee. Also, I guess you can't really figure out the point guard situation until we figure out exactly what is wrong with Devontae Green, how quick he can get back, and how quick he can be at a close to 100% to perform maybe at his maximum, so the coaches can evaluate who is going to be the starting point guard for the bulk of this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Phinisee did play well. I mean, he went 5 of 11 from the floor, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, no turnovers in a little over 28 minutes, which is really encouraging from both an offensive perspective and also kind of a ball security perspective. That's, of course, going to be important for any point guard. I thought he looked comfortable, at least, you know, comfortable in maybe a basic way in sort of that exhibition setting where, you know, Indiana's not necessarily going to be digging deep into their bag of tricks. You know, Southern Indiana's, you know, still going to be working through its rotations and things like that. So it's, you know, attach all the usual caveats, the difference in competitive level and all that, but I thought he played well. I think the one thing that I keep coming back to right now, Devontae Green has a thigh contusion. It wasn't really clear to me if he would have played if, you know, Thursday night was a competitive game that counted, for the full season in terms of record. I mean, like, Jerome Hunter sat out with some foot soreness. I kind of got the sense with the way Archie Miller talked about it that Hunter would have been available if it had been, let's say, Ohio State, not Southern Indiana in an exhibition. I don't know if that necessarily applied in the same way to Devontae Green. But if it is just a thigh contusion, then you don't feel like maybe you're looking at something that should have huge long-term implications like a high ankle sprain or, you know, a sprained wrist or, you know, obviously something more serious like a fracture or a tear somewhere. The one thing that I would say about Devontae Green and Rob Phinisee is don't forget what Devontae Green does defensively. And I am as high on Robert Phinisee's potential both now and for the future as anybody. And I think that he did himself every possible favor he could against Southern Indiana. Archie Miller said after the game, basically, he's a guy who's been offered a chance to really assert himself at that point guard spot here with Green out, and he's doing it. And that's the most you can do. But don't forget not just how well Devontae Green actually played in stretches of the last month and a half of last season. And if you look at his statistics, especially his advanced stats last year, overall versus in Big Ten play specifically, he was superb, frankly, in the way that he improved in league play alone. But also remember what Devontae Green can do for this team defensively and probably more than what you'd want to ask Rob Phinisee to have to do as a freshman right now. So I think it's good to have both of them. I think it's good to kind of steal that line from Archie Miller to see Robert Phinisee seize his opportunity when he gets it early here in the season. I think that shows a level of ambition and competitiveness and a good mentality, all of which will serve him well and probably should serve Devontae Green well, because you don't really get the sense, having spent the last couple of years talking to Devontae Green, covering Devontae Green, writing stories about Devontae Green, that he's the kind of kid who's just sort of going to throw his arms in the air and get frustrated when somebody comes for his spot. He's going to fight for it. So I think what you have is a good, healthy competition. You just need it to iron itself out here in the first few weeks of the season, such that once you get to Big Ten play proper, you're really confident in what you've got at point guard.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. When you talk about freshmen, and I discussed this some Friday coming out of the game against Southern Indiana, when you talk about freshmen on this roster, obviously Romeo Langford, Robert Fennessy, and even Jerome Hunter have had a lot of conversations and expectations maybe for what they'll be able to do either this year or in their career as IU players. Were you surprised by Demezi Anderson's breakout performance, 14 points, draining a lot of three-pointers, looking awful good for a freshman that maybe we haven't talked about as much as those other three guys?
You know, I wasn't. I mean, you're right. We definitely haven't talked as much about Demezi Anderson, and I think maybe some of that comes from the fact that there's a perception, at least, and maybe this was an incorrect perception on my part, but he kind of plays in some of the same spots as a guy like Romeo Langford. And my sort of theory on Demezi Anderson for a long time has basically been that, you know, everything you get from him this season is a little bit of a bonus, especially if he can be a player that comes in and knocks down threes. You know, Indiana as a team goes 11 of 22 from behind the arc. That was obviously such a point of concern through, frankly, all of last season offensively with the ability to hit threes. Indiana actually, I think we figured out after the season, was the worst three-point shooting team in, you know, in a single season in program history, going all the way back to, I think it's 1987 was when the line was introduced. So if he can, he's going to have a role if he can knock down threes and he's not a liability defensively. But I've always kind of wondered if a big part of Demezi Anderson's role isn't helping IU prepare for life after Romeo Langford, because he does play in some similar positions. He's not the exact same kind of player. I'm not suggesting that. But I can easily see a world, especially as Indiana is not really recruiting a player at Romeo's position right now in 2019 that you would think is going to come in and play big, big minutes right away. I could easily see a world where Demezi Anderson, a 6'6", 6'7", sort of guard, wing, hybrid, who can rebound a little bit, obviously was a volume scorer in high school. It's encouraging to see him hitting threes in college. I also thought it was really interesting. He hit this one really smooth mid-range jumper that I think basically just sort of came off of a ball fake, dribble, pull up, and it just, there was a confidence and a smoothness to the whole move. I've seen guys come out of high school and they can shoot some threes. I've seen guys come out of high school who can finish around the rim. When you've got that mid-range game, and I know coaches don't always love to take the mid-range shots, but the guys who can hit them, you're happy to have them take them because it can open up the floor in so many ways. To look that smooth shooting in the mid-range so young really stuck out to me for Demezi Anderson. And I think, yes, this season, if he can knock down shots, if he can defend well enough, he's going to have a role off the bench. But I also think that maybe part of the reason we haven't talked quite as much about him as maybe some of the other guys is, at least in my part, on my part, this feeling that he is also crucial to helping IU prepare for life after Romeo Langford, if it does transpire that Langford is headed for the NBA after this season. Then Demezi Anderson gives you a guy that you could potentially plug into kind of that 2-3 spot in your lineup next year, and is already a guy who is capable of knocking down shots, of scoring at some volume. And you've given him the year to get stronger, to get comfortable in Archie Miller's defensive systems, to really start to kind of gel and bond with some of the guys around him, Fennessy, Green, et cetera, and so forth. So I would be surprised if this is the last time we're talking about a surprising performance from Demezi Anderson off the bench. But I really wouldn't be surprised if this time next year we're maybe looking at him as a guy that Indiana's going to be counting on a little bit more.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, our guest talking IU basketball, of course, Chicago State, IU's official opener Tuesday night. Let's chat about that game for just a minute. Obviously, some of the non-conference games like Marquette and Arkansas and others, Duke, and I know I'm missing a couple of the other big ones, but very interesting games, very tough games for IU. This one, not so tough, at least on paper. It's a team that is rebuilding, a team that has a new coach, a team that is still trying to find its way in Division I basketball, at least here recently. What do you know about Chicago State, who comes to Assembly Hall on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at kind of their KenPom projections and things like that. I think KenPom has them going 6-24, but right now, as I'm literally looking at their schedule, they're only favored in, but it, specifically favored in two games, and I believe both of those are against teams outside of Division One. You're right, they are a team that's really struggled to kind of find any footing. They've got a new coach, Lance Irvin, who I think may have been a high school coach in the Chicago area before coming up through to Chicago State. He may have had another stop or two along the way there. I don't know that he went straight from one to the other. But this is probably, and I don't mean to be pejorative, this is probably the worst team on Indiana's schedule. And strangely enough, they may play two of the, you know, three or four worst teams that they face all season here. Tuesday and Friday against Chicago State and then Montana State. You know, these are the kinds of games that just kind of help make up a schedule at some level. And I think it's, I've always thought it's good to play other teams in the Midwest, you know, I don't know that you need to actively hunt down and try to play every team that's in state every single year. And obviously after last year, Indiana might swerve the Fort Waynes and the Indiana States for a couple seasons. But I always do like to see, you know, Indiana playing teams from the area, teams from Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, and so forth, both in their exhibitions and some of their early season games. I would expect that this is a comfortable win for Indiana. I think you're probably, again, these first two games, you're thinking about figuring out rotations. You're thinking about figuring out some position spots. You know, like I said, where's the point guard battle? Do any of the guys that sat out or left the exhibition Thursday night get back healthy? Can you get them back for that little stretch where you play Marquette and then Arkansas, then two games, then Duke? And then the other thing, too, is, you know, these are the games where you get to experiment a little bit with. I think that at some level, fans look at, let's say, a Romeo Langford's performance in a game like this, and they say, well, it's going to be easy for him. He's going to get, you know, 18, 20, 24 points. It's not going to be very hard because they're playing such overmatched competition. This is also kind of the sort of setting where if you are trying to take a young team and figure out how to help that young team understand how to get the most out of a really talented teammate, you can experiment a little bit. You can try some different things. You can tell guys, listen, don't be afraid of making the odd mistake here or there, because at the end of the day, we should be able to win this comfortably. If our turnover numbers or something are just a little bit high because you're taking the right kinds of chances, I'll take the blame for some of that. Don't make dumb mistakes. But if I see you, you know, committing turnovers, throwing the ball away because you're trying to take the right kinds of chances to maybe see what works and what doesn't, and maybe what we can build on, where we can, you know, develop some extra chemistry, I'll take the blame for that. I just want you to use tonight to really get that comfort level going so that once we face a Marquette in a week and a day, once we go to Arkansas in a couple weeks, once we're at Cameron Indoor, you know, near the end of the month, things are a little bit more relaxed and sort of smoothed out.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us. Zach, I want to close with where we started today. You had a nice piece, and you don't have to give it away. I'd like people to go read it at indystar.com/sports. But you had a nice piece on Romeo Langford. It was titled, Why IU Phenom Romeo Langford Won't Be Bothered by Sky-High Pressure and Expectations. Tell us a little bit about that story, maybe a little preview snippet.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just kind of, at some level, admittedly, it's a little bit of trying to find something new to write about Romeo Langford. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of words I've turned in this calendar year on Langford. I know I'm not the only one on the IU beat. I'm not the only one in college basketball. There's folks outside of the IU bubble, if you will, that are still interested in Romeo Langford. And I think quietly that's maybe part of his more intangible importance to Indiana is suddenly he kind of gives a program that's lacked a little bit of juice the last couple of years. You know, he gives them some of that sort of electricity, some of that big ticket billing right away. But it's basically just a story about, you know, how despite all the hype, despite all the expectation, despite all the pressure, it's just something that's never really bothered Romeo Langford. And I mean, you know him too. What's always struck me about Langford is, he has lived pretty much most of his, I guess you'd say, relevant basketball career. And What I mean by that is from the point that you would start to look at prospects and try to separate the ones that are good enough to go to college from the ones that aren't, and then the ones that are good enough to go to a Division I school from the ones that aren't, and then the ones that are good enough to go to a high major program from the ones that aren't, and so forth. He's always kind of had this. He's not a guy who emerged late. He didn't, you know, I mean, Anthony Davis, I think about him as an example, as a guy who was what, like supposedly like a 6'1 guard as a ninth grader, and then he was a 6'10 center as a 12th grader. Romeo Langford has had this attention relative to the level he's been at virtually everywhere he's been. You know, he was a middle school star. People were waiting for him at New Albany. He was ranked at or near the top of his class virtually from the time that serious people started making serious rankings about his class. You know, he's been a Mr. Basketball front runner since he was, what, probably a sophomore. He scored 3,000 points in high school. He won a state title. You know, he's been an elite recruit in the eyes of all of the blue blood programs across the country for years and years. And the point is that, yes, Indiana fans have big expectations. Yes, some of them probably are unreasonable. Yes, the hype is going to be deafening in some ways at some times, but relative to where he's been, it's nothing new for Romeo Langford, and at no point in his career has it seemed like it bothered him, has it seemed like it was something that really got to him or touched him very much. And I think that's unusual. I think that that shows an unusual maturity that obviously he's developed. You would imagine his family, certainly talking to the people around him, his coaches, even his teammates at some level, his friends, his trainers have helped him grow. And I think it'll serve him well at Indiana because, look, I don't think anybody thinks if Romeo Langford doesn't go to the Final Four, this whole thing was a waste. But at the same time, I think it's still one where the individual expectations on him are going to be really cranked up at times. And it's you always want to know, how's a young guy going to be able to handle that? And according to basically everything anyone says about him, Romeo's going to be just fine.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays with great insight on the IU beat. Zach, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you very soon, and basketball season is here.
It is. It is, and still probably feels a little warm outside for that to feel normal, but it's not going away.
Absolutely. Zach, thanks so much for the chat and all the info. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, as always.
As Zach and I were talking, I just saw that the State Farm Champions Classic, which obviously doesn't include Indiana, but it's been renewed for a number of years, I think four more seasons through 2022. Moving forward, Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, and Kentucky, the field. And no matter if you're a fan or you like any of those teams or coaches or not, it's a great event to start college basketball. It'll be Tuesday night. Some high-level college matchups right outside of the gate. And it's in Indianapolis this year, and a part of the renewal press release through 2022 has it back in Indianapolis again in the year 2022. So interesting there, and good to see that event in Indiana, even though it doesn't include IU, obviously Indiana, the basketball capital, in my opinion, of the world. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and IHSAA executive board member. We'll talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday edition of the program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, IHSA executive board member, my guest. And Chad, a lot to talk about. It's the end of the high school football season, at least for our immediate area. It's the official beginning of the boys' basketball season today. That first practice, that first official practice, I guess is how we need to word it, with some of the early practices now allowed by the IHSA. Girls basketball is underway. College basketball, we've had some exhibitions and scrimmages, and that'll get underway more officially later this week. Tuesday night, IU plays. Tuesday night is the Champions Classic with some great headline-type college basketball matchups, but no shortage of basketball. We had to wait a long time in the offseason to get to where we're at, but it's finally here.
Matt, you hit the nail on the head. Lots to talk about today. You know, started off talking about football. Lots of exciting games Friday night. You know, that you think about the Providence game against Paoli, went down to the last play. Brownstown makes an exciting comeback to win. Evansville Memorial shorthanded down against Gibson Southern comes out. So there's a lot of excitement this time of the year where everybody's just playing for their lives with a chance to advance. Two more weeks for the showdown in Lucas Stadium. You know, when you're in Lucas Oil Stadium, you're going to see six really good games because these guys are banging it out and going at it every single week. One thing leading up to the state finals is you can't rule out the elements. We've not had great Friday nights this fall, Matt. We've had lots of rain. There's been some cold nights. There's been some hot nights. You know, so teams have had lots of experience playing against the elements. It'll be curious how the next couple weeks play out with the regional and semi-state rounds and how that comes into play.
Providence lost a heartbreaker, Chad, on Friday night, talking high school football to start our segment. They were just inches away from a first down and a couple feet away from a touchdown that would have them moving on to play in those unknown elements you were talking about on Friday nights we've had this season. A great season by Providence, 9 wins in a row to get to the sectional championship game, and again, so close to a back-to-back sectional crown for the Pioneers.
Oh, you know, it's a heartbreaker anytime that you lose like that. It's a game of inches, though. And there'll be things that you look back on that, try to get better, try to work at it. But you got to lose to know how to win. And that's one thing that they're going to try to do is they'll build upon that and come back again next year. But a great season by the Pioneers.
Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad's an IHSA executive board member, also Charlestown's athletic director. I want you to put your coaching hat on here for just a second because there's something special about that first official day of practice. I know that the world of sports and high school sports has changed. There seems to be more almost year-round activity with kids playing travel sports, but even high school ball, you know, basketball, you play in the summer. There's big summer league activities in June. Now you're able to start practicing the last week of August for a maximum of 4 hours per week, 2 hours on 2 days during the week. So maybe the first practice, it doesn't have the long-awaited feel that what it had 10, 15, 20 years ago. But that first practice, there's a different feeling for a coach, and I'm curious how the first day of practice always made you feel when you were leading the Red Devils.
You've got so much excitement in that first day of practice. The first week of practice, let's cut the chase, is awful. And we'll talk in just a minute on why it is awful. But everything that you're wanting to do, everything that you lost that last game the year before, and it's all built up and culminated to this point for the next season that you want to get so much in. You want to do so much different. You want to stick to these things. But that first week, you know, when we used to play, Matt, there was 3 days of tryouts. Tryouts are over. You know, coaches, they've got a great idea with all the summer, with 2 hours limited contact. You know, you're on tryout every single day that you're doing those things. And it's an opportunity for those kids to perform. And they've got to be on their A game because by the time that first day of practice is, there's no tryouts, you know, and you put number 1 through 6 on the board. Those days are over with. People know the teams. The coaches know their teams. And don't fool yourself. Kids know the teams. They know who's going to play where. And as the season goes on, that stuff shakes itself out. But what's involved in that first week is, you know, there's so much stuff coming out that is just, I don't want to say administrative, but there is so much. You know, leading up to the first practice, you're trying to schedule meetings with your AD on doing grade checks, doing physicals, your schedule, your transportation, you're meeting with your staff, you're planning special events, you're talking to your feeder coaches, you're getting your scouting schedule down. All of that has already been in play. Now with this week coming out, You're issuing equipment. You're getting uniforms ready. You're scheduling pictures. You're working on the program. You're doing your fundraising. You've got your parent meeting scheduled for the expectations of the year. And with all of that going, you still are trying to get ready for practice. And, you know, when you think about this time of the year, the season is a long season. And you almost got to break it down into parts. You know, at the start of the year, you're trying to shoot for that opening game where you have everything in that they think they can throw at you. Are you going to be good at everything? No. But, you know, you're starting to get your package in of what you're trying to throw at teams, what teams are going to be throwing at you, and you just feel like you have enough in to be prepared. Then you go on that stretch up until Christmas where you continue to add to your package and continue to try to get better. Christmas break is a great time to evaluate your program. And you see what you can do to get better. You look at your personnel. You look at your rotations. And what can help us make this run? January, you start to add and subtract to your package. You taper your practices off a little bit. February is all fine-tuning. You're getting everybody on the same page going to the state tournament. And then March, you want to be fresh, energized, and fighting, you know, to play another day. So if you break it down in segments like that, the season goes so quick. But it's one of those things that you've got to be prepared for, and you can't have too much too early or too little too late.
Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director, IHSA executive board member. So many angles we could take the start of the high school basketball season, and especially given your perspective as a former coach and, of course, player in the area. But we'll be talking about games and scrimmages here on the boys' side in just a few weeks from now. And again, that week of Thanksgiving, that almost to me is a great start to the holidays, because Monday night you've got Floyd Central Christian Academy, one of the big games in the area. I think Jeff plays at home on Wednesday night. New Albany plays Bloomington South, which should be a terrific early season matchup on Saturday after Thanksgiving. So we're a couple weeks away from a really good slate of games. You could almost get out and get a good early feel for the season in that first week of some big games.
Oh, Charlestown, we open up with New Washington, a county rival, a boy-girl doubleheader. Southwestern and Hanover have their boy-girl doubleheader that night. And like you said, it's a good gauge to see where people are at. And we've talked about this many, many times before. But this time of the year, you know, without Romeo being around here, we've had a McDonald's All-American for 4 years. We've been really spoiled in Southern Indiana. But I think there's still some really good players, lots of talented kids, and you're going to see a lot of parity throughout this season go on, and you're going to see some really, really good games. Now, that doesn't mean there's not star power. I saw where the kid from Bloomington South, Lille, got offered by Maryland. Kid from Wright, Lander, got offered from Kansas. So there's some big-time players still around here. But I think you're going to see a lot more parity, which is going to make for a lot more excitement as the games continue to unfold. It's going to be a fun year for high school basketball, Matt.
Chad Gilbert always with us Mondays. Chad, thanks for the chat. That's going to wrap things up on this first show of the week. Don't forget, we do this every day, every weekday at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM, streaming online at Big X Sports Radio. We're on the TuneIn app as well. IU Chicago State Tuesday night. That will be fun. College basketball is here. High school starts today. Have a great day, and I'll talk with you tomorrow here on the Big X Sports Radio.